Tuesday morning, you're tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. My name is Remy, and on to this week's episode for 528, Danny joins me for an anniversary review of The Birdcage from 1996, celebrating its 30th anniversary from director Mike Nichols. Let's get to some DVD Tuesday for April the 14th here. We have A Private Life. This one arrives out onto a physical release. This one stars Jodie Foster inside of it, and it is also directed by Jodie Foster, if I'm not mistaken. As well, too, a few digital releases. So you have Baz Luhrmann's Epic Elvis in Concert. This is like a concert documentary that he found the footage at Graceland and converted into a movie. Maggie Gyllenhaal's The Bride, starring Christian Bale and Jesse Buckley, arrives out onto a digital release. As well, too, Psycho Killer, for all of those who enjoy a good thriller. Alright, let's get to some music to get your morning started here. We're going to hear Sun Glaciers with the track Ballad for Eddie off of the album Spiritual Content. And then we're going to hear Stitch with the track And the Same off of the album Bright and High. And then finally, we're going to have a track Squeeze with the track Tempted. You are tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Thank you.
And welcome back here today and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We get to some of the news scores from movies here. We're going to take a look first at the drama. Daniel Pemberton there, the artist behind the drama and the film composer. We're going to hear the track The Activist. And then from Brian Taylor, we're going to hear the track Star Shower from the Super Mario Galaxy movie. You are tuned in listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sound, CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. Brian Taylor there with Star Shower. Before that, you heard from the drama music there, composed by Daniel Pemberton with the track The Activist. Good morning, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. It's always a great day here on At the Movies when I can play some new Thomas Newman, which we're going to hear new Thomas Newman music. This one comes from In the Blink of an Eye. This is a Hulu series, I do believe. And we're going to hear the track Handprint. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sound, CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. Thomas Newman there with the track Handprint from the Hulu series In the Blink of an Eye. Good morning, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We're going to get ready for next week because next week it is another anniversary review. Danny and I will be taking a look at Darren Aronofsky's film, The Fountain, that is celebrating an anniversary from 2006. This will be a blind spot viewing for me, so I am very excited for this one, since I have not seen The Fountain yet. Anyways, what we're going to hear right now is Clint Mansell with two tracks from Requiem for a Dream. We're going to hear the track Party, and then we're going to hear the track Summer Overture, taking you to your Cinematic Fridays. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, CJLO 1690 AM here in Montreal. We'll be right back. right, and welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. That was Clint Mansell with two tracks from Requiem for Dream. You heard the track Party and then Summer Overture. This is going to take us now to Cinematic Fridays, and out for Cinematic Fridays, the Montreal Mile End District gets its cinematic premiere, probably inside of Mile and Kicks, from director Chandler Levick. Let's take a listen.
I just don't understand why you have to move to Montreal. You're not even French.
Montreal is the most exciting place for indie rock. I'm feeling rough, I'm feeling
wrong in the time of my life. Hi.
Salut.
There's a party tonight. You should come.
I also have social anxiety.
What?
I don't blame you. Being alive is completely insane.
Wiggly's there. He's the worst guy in Montreal.
Oh, hey, I didn't know you worked here.
Does that feel good?
Yes. We're phases. I'm a music critic. I could interview you guys.
What's up?
What's up?
It's really cool you're doing this.
Can we go back to the interview?
So this is circa 2010, all about a music critic inside of the Mile End District of Montreal. This one comes out for your Cinematic Fridays, and it's called Mile End Kicks. There's also a story called Mile End Kicks as well, too. This one is directed by Chandler Levick, from the director of I Love Movies, one of my favorite films, Canadian films that came out a couple of years ago as well, too. You also have Steven Soderbergh returning with The Christophers. This one I am looking forward to seeing. It's all about the art world. And this one stars Ian McKellen inside of this one, so can't wait for that one. Always excited for a new Steven Soderbergh film. And then if you're looking more for a horror, then Lee Cronin's The Mummy comes out as well, too. And dare I say, Brendan Fraser might be inside of this one. You got to go and check it out to find out. Once again, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, CJLO 1690 AM. Danny joins me for an anniversary review of The Birdcage from 1996. Let's take a listen. Thank you for joining me for this anniversary review, Danny.
Thank you for having me, Ramin.
So on to today's episode, we're going to be talking about The Birdcage from 1996. This one is celebrating 30-year anniversary. It is directed by Mike Nichols. So it is about Armin Goldman, yeah, who is a cabaret owner, played by Robin Williams, and his partner Albert, played by Nathan Lane, put up a false heterosexual front so that their son can introduce them to their fiancé's conservative parents, played by Jane Hackman, who is a senator inside of this one. The film can be seen as a pioneer Hollywood film for the LGBTQ plus community for what it had to say, but also not only for what it had to say, but also showcasing the LGBTQ plus community as well, too. It is based loosely onto the French play La Cage aux Folies as well, too. So I guess that we can talk about one of the film's first themes here. We can dive into that one, which is the authentic self versus social performance. Both film. The film, I think, deals with both of these two themes well. Reflecting on this today, I feel that Armand, I feel, is insecure with the thought of giving a social performance, even though he's secure with who he is as a person. I feel that he's insecure to give a social performance, but sucks it up in him to try to appease his son, who's asking him to do this so he can seem normal to the in-laws. Albert, on the other hand, and Agador, who's the housekeeper played by Hank Azaria, are much too at ease with their authentic self, and they strive to create a social performance, maybe a little bit too much.
Well, with Armin Goldman, when we see the authentic version of him in the beginning of the film, you see that he's very comfortable with who he is. He's surrounded by people who love him for who he is. He's very chill. He's very cool. I mean, Albert does drive him crazy on occasion, but other than that, he's just he's comfortable in his own skin. He's comfortable with who he is. But when he is put in a position where he has to pretend to be a heterosexual man to appease who's going to be his in-laws, you see that there's an awkwardness within him.
No, exactly. So the film can also be seen as challenging the conservative norms. Definitely, we see that because Gene Hackman's character is playing Senator Kevin Keeley, who is a conservative senator and not really Bible thumping per se. He's not really like a Bible thumping. He's just more of like, okay, there are things that are for moral decency in society and we must have that. And then one of his close people inside of his campaign is embedded into a scandal, and not too far from, like, you can say conservatives these days sometimes are embedded inside of a scandal. And instead of like talking through this or trying to accept it or trying to come to terms with it, he goes to his comfort, which is candy, for example. So Albert, I feel, is the one who challenges them through performance, because Armand isn't going to challenge the people who want to watch the film. But Senator Kevin Keeley is seen as a narrow-minded view when challenged, but finds solace in candy. That's what I wrote about challenging the conservative norms. How do you think that the film challenges conservative norms? I mean, it showcases the LGBTQ plus community, but it also showcases, maybe the ideology of the conservative norm that might be tone deaf.
Well, how I felt the challenge conservative norms is, well, one could argue that Keeley's daughter, Barbara, challenged conservative norms by getting engaged to a man who has gay parents. I mean, regardless of the fact that she grew up with a father who's a conservative politician, the idea of her fiancé having gay parents didn't seem to bother her at all.
Let's talk about theatricality and the identity. Definitely, like we said earlier, Albert and Agador are the ideal for theatricality, just because of the fact that they do social performance and they thrive onto performance. Armand, not so much. He doesn't really thrive on performance. However, he can definitely talk about the identity, where basically in that scene where he talks about acting like a man to Albert, and he shows Albert how to act like a man.
Well, in terms of theatricality with the identity, how Albert also fits into that is Albert being a gay man is also somebody who loves to cross-dress and is a drag queen. And through his theatricality, performs in the nightclub as his alter ego, Starina.
There you go. So not a stranger to theatricality. And that is his true identity. Armand might be giving his own version of theatricality through the identity of acting like a man for the better of his son to show an image to the in-laws. We get to another theme now, which is family, love, and loyalty. So I guess that this is where the son's biological mother comes into play, who is Catherine, played by Christine Baranski. And you can see, like, the type of rekindling that Armand and Catherine have for each other. That makes Albert maybe a little bit paranoid. However, like, you do see that Armand is definitely there for Albert when Albert needs him. And Albert and Armand are the family for their son, even though Catherine is his biological mother. Maybe Albert is his non-biological mother, who comes through at the very end of the day. Not giving too much away there about the movie. That was a major spoiler. But Albert is the one who comes through at the very end for his son.
Yeah, in fact, with family loyalty, we saw that with Armin, even though he did not like the idea of having to compromise himself, having to pretend to be somebody else in order to protect his son, he did it anyway, regardless of the fact that it was difficult for him. And he even said to Val at some point, "Don't talk to me for a while."
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I feel that that's like the type of unconditional love that a family has for their son. Another thematic would be tolerance and breaking prejudices. And I feel that Albert is trying to break through, unbeknownst to Senator Keeley, of the prejudices that Senator Keeley keeps bottled up. I feel that Albert tries to break through to them.
Well, it was interesting to see Albert dressed as a woman, pretending to be who the Keeleys believe to be Val's biological mother. Who he was finding common ground with Keeley during these political debates, which was interesting.
Counterpoint. Point, for example. So the style of Mike Nichols's Birdcage can be seen as a cultural satire. I really enjoyed the color saturation to the film, and as well to the soundtrack to the film was equally excellent too.
Yeah, well, the movie started and ended with the song "We Are Family," which is a very catchy song. It's a song that tends to get stuck in your head for a while, and it's a song that really suited the theme of the film.
Definitely, like, you look at that song particularly, it's on the top for, like, disco anthems, and definitely, like, a big part of the LGBTQ plus community as well, too. That song's very important to them as well, too. So I guess that we'll take a short break, and then when we come back, we'll dive a little bit more into The Birdcage from Mike Nichols.
All right, let's try walking.
Holding the sandwich?
Doesn't matter. Just walk. Oh. Down.
Too swishy?
Let me give you an image. It's a cliche, but it's an image. John Wayne.
Oh, God. Couldn't we start with someone easier?
Come on, you're a big fan. He's got a very distinctive walk. Very easy to imitate. And if anyone was a man... All right, now try it. Just get off your horse and head into the saloon.
Welcome back. You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM, a scene from The Birdcage. where Robin Williams's character of Armand tells his partner Albert how to act like a man, Albert being Nathan Lane there. So here's my question for you, Danny. Does the film dive deep and play on the stereotypes, or find a type of humanity or compassion for the characters that are Armand and Albert?
Well, maybe a bit of both, because one would argue that the Albert character is what one would call exaggeratingly feminine, which would be a stereotype about gay people. And to state for the record, me being somebody who's been to the gay village on numerous occasions, not all gay guys act like this. There are some gay guys out there who are actually very manly, some who are in between. So yeah, it does play on the stereotype a little bit, but at the same time, in terms of what you said about humanity, also an indication of how people are just built differently, so to speak. People who are born a specific gender biologically are not necessarily in alignment with how they should look, dress, and act in accordance to how society tells them they should act, look, dress, and act regarding the biological gender they were born.
Okay. I feel that the film, too, challenges the conservative norms, definitely for its days, especially when Albert and Keeley have their heated discussions around the dinner table. How do you think that the film challenged the conservative norms of the times?
Well, a really good example is when Senator Keeley said, homosexuality is weakening this country. I mean, that in itself sounds like something a conservative would say. That does stereotype conservatives. However, let's also state for the record once again that not all conservatives think that way about gay people. I mean, a really good example would be John Kasich. I remember in one interview when he was asked about gay people, he said, I have nothing against gay people, but I'm not for gay marriage simply because I'm a traditionalist.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I feel that even though the film didn't expand on it, I feel that Senator Keeley at the end has a social awakening or a social reckoning, you know, with himself and his morals, and finds more of a tone of acceptance at the end of the film, even though the film doesn't go deep into that area. So by today, how I feel is that the conservative moral crusade beats a dead, tired drum. Still doing that. Times change and acceptance is more golden than trying to mold somebody into somebody who you want them to be. I'm definitely giving a thumbs up to the performance of Nathan Lane and Robin Williams, who are great inside there. The cast alone is great. I mean, you have Christine Baranski, you have Gene Hackman, you have Calista Flockhart, I think, too, inside of it, this
yeah,
one.
Correct.
You also have Hank Azaria as Agador. A little bit of a comedic relief there.
Well, Hank Azaria, as we know, he does voices of characters in The Simpsons. He does the voice of Chief Wiggum and Moe Szyslak.
Yeah. So, no, that's what I feel too. But I also feel too that the film too touches upon like that even though the conservatives are all moral, just, and, you know, part of the moral society, just his staff member being embedded into a scandal shows that The conservatives have their own moral faults too at time to time, and who are we to judge, right? Like, even this week too, we saw how, you know, Christy Noem's husband's having his morality scandal, and various other conservatives have had their own, you know, sexual scandals in the past as well too. So who are we to judge, right? And yeah. But it's the double standard, right?
Well,
at the end of the day as well too.
I was just going to say, Senator Keeley's colleague getting involved in that scandal is just a good example in itself of how oftentimes hypocrisy fits into politics.
Yeah, I guess that we can say that, how it's a type of hypocrisy into conservative politics from time to time. And your final thoughts on the Birdcage all these years later?
Well, I was also impressed with the performance. I think all the actors did a good job. I thought it was a very interesting story. It's receiving a thumbs up from me. It's just a very fun movie altogether.
Yeah, I needed that fun light movie. It's definitely a blind spot for me. Very good blind spot, like I said. Really enjoyed the color saturation to the film. Very Miami Vice, I would say. Very Miami Vice 80s. And the soundtrack, too, very good as well, too. So, yeah. On to next week's episode. It's going to be another anniversary review. We're going to be taking a look at Darren Aronofsky's film, The Fountain, from 2006, another blind spot for me. Very excited for this one, since I am a big Darren Aronofsky fan, even though he is a polarizing director from time to time. Apparently, what I've been reading about this, it talks about science, talks about medicine, talks about religion, on side of an hour and a half. So we're going to see that on to next week's show. Thank you for joining me for this anniversary review, Danny.
And thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure, Remy.
And if you are headed back to the movie theaters this week, as always, bon cinema.
Bon cinema.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
Don't you know you're queen?